Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone, and welcome to Everything Iconic with me, Danny Pellegrino. Got a special interview for you all today with Luke McFarlane, one of the stars of Bros, which is out in theaters September 30th. He stars alongside Billy Eichner, of course, from Billy on the Street. Billy co-wrote the movie, and I got a chance to see it early. And I loved it so much. Truly, madly, deeply, cannot recommend it to you all enough. I swear I'm not just saying that. I thought it was funny, charming, romantic, lovely, all of the things. And it sort of got that Bridesmaids knocked up feel to it because it was produced by Judd Apatow. However, this movie is comprised of all LGBTQ actors. Miss Lawrence, of course, for Housewives fans out there from Real Housewives of Atlanta, is wonderful in it. There's so many different people who get to shine. And I just hope everyone goes to the theaters to see it because I need more LGBTQ rom-coms in my life. I consider myself a rom-com expert, and I've been waiting years and years to get these kinds of movies on screen. So I hope you get a ticket and go see it. And I've been wanting to chat with Luke for a while now, because not only is he in this big-budget gay rom-com, but he also starred in one of my all-time favorite shows, Brothers and Sisters, which aired on ABC with Sally Field, Calista Flockhart, Rob Lowe. It was around 2006-ish. He played Scotty, which was one of the gay characters, was in a relationship with Kevin Walker. I loved that show so much. So I've been wanting to talk to him about that. Also, he's a Hallmark leading man. I love the Christmas movies on Hallmark. I have a whole separate holiday movie podcast that I do, which we're ramping up for our season 4, which will be out later this year. But I love covering those holiday movies, and Luke starred in a million of them. So I was just so thrilled to get to talk to Luke. So I hope you all enjoy this chat as much as I did. Get your ticket to Bros. Go see it so that it makes a ton of money, and then we get 100 more LGBTQ movies, right? I mean, earlier this year, we had the wonderful Fire Island, which was on Hulu, when we chatted with Joel Kim Booster, who wrote that movie here on Everything Iconic. If you haven't listened to that chat, you can check it out in the podcast feed. But I want all of these gay people to be able to express themselves, and I just hope we get more and more and more of them. Because I want them. You know, I'm trying to get my own LGBTQ movies off the ground. So see this one so that those executives will say, hey, Danny, we want your script next. Let's get that going. Come on, people. Got to get it going. Anyway, I hope you all enjoy this. I'm going to put it up on the YouTube channel. So if you want to watch it, you can watch it at youtube.com/Danny Pellegrino and the number one. Get my book. It's called How Do I Unremember This? Wherever books are sold. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. And with all of that said, please enjoy my chat with the wonderful, the charming, the very, very handsome. I mean, this man's a gorgeous man. I mean, forget it. Matt, get the fan. I need to be fanned off after I finish chatting with him over Zoom. So please enjoy. I love you all so much. Bye-bye.
Hi. I'm very happy to meet you. The publicists are very excited that I'm talking to you.
Oh, good. I loved you so much on Brothers and Sisters. I'm a Hallmark junkie, too, so I just am excited to talk to you. How are you, Luke?
I'm really good. I'm very happy to be doing this press junket for a movie that I'm really proud of. I've spent a lot of time thinking about people having to do press junkets for movies where they're like, yeah, it was great. Everyone had a good time, but I really love this movie, so I'm happy to talk to you.
There's an infamous story about Rosie O'Donnell doing press for Exit to Eden, where she brought a dog with her on the press junket so that she would just be able to pivot every question to the dog.
That's funny you bring up that movie, Exit to Eden, because like as a young gay man, that was one of the rare opportunities where I could like see a little bit of skin. I remember that movie because of all the men running around in their loincloths.
I just remember the trailer moment of Rosie in like a dominatrix outfit. See, yeah. I should rewatch it because that's the only skin I remember.
I also remember a bit or a lotsy, if you will, with a leaf blower, because I think she was like a grounds crew person.
Yes.
That's all the pop culture references you're going to get out of me.
No, I love it. Luke, I want to get into bros, but will you just humor all of my brothers and sisters questions?
Absolutely.
Okay. So first of all, I have to say, I was thinking about this last night. I was rewatching episodes on Hulu, and I think for me, this was one of, if not the most important piece of pop culture when it came to me coming out to my family, because it premiered in 2006 and it was a show that my mom and I both connected on. She was like obsessed with Sally Fields. And I, of course, just loved Sally and the family drama of it all. But I remember like watching it with her on Sunday nights and sometimes looking at how she would respond to the Scotty and Kevin storyline and seeing if she accepted it and what she thought of how Nora accepted it. And it might sound silly, but it was so important. And I remember that being a lot of the catalyst because I saw that she was comfortable enough with that relationship on screen. And so I felt comfortable. I was a young man in Ohio then coming out to her. So do you still hear from people that that had a profound effect on? I mean, obviously I'm telling you now, but do you hear from them?
I do. I actually do. That is one of the things that people say to me, specifically, you know, gay men of a certain age. They say exactly what you told me, Danny, is like that it helped them come out to your parents. And I think a lot about the queer community and also what family means. And I think of the generations that came before us, family meant sort of chosen family, finding your family, finding people that understood you. And I think where brothers and sister was different and how I also related to it was your immediate family is also part of the acceptance of it. I think most mothers on some level want to be a little bit like Sally Field. And for her to show the world that you can love your gay son, even if it is fictional, which I also think is true in Sally's case. I think her son Sam.
Sam, yeah.
Yeah. I actually have a funny story about that. Sam, when we were filming Brothers and Sisters, Sally one day said to me, I'd like you to meet my son. And I was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, oh, but what does your son do? And I could notice this like hesitance from her. And she was like, yeah, I just think you'd like to meet him. I was like, oh, okay. What does Sam want to do? And she goes, Sam wants to go into sports journalism. And I was like, oh, that sounds wonderful. And I could feel all this tension underneath what she was trying to say. And I don't think Sam had actually come out to her yet. And she was maybe looking for a way to sort of encourage it. And once I kind of finally sort of sense what she was trying to say, I was like, Sam's going to need to take his own time, Sally. I think it would be hard to be your son.
Yeah, I mean, I could only imagine. I feel like I would. Yeah, I know Sam a bit. I'm gonna send this story to him. He's gonna.
Oh man! I feel bad.
No,
oh god!
No, don't feel bad. I'm sure he'll love it.
And she was incredibly sweet about it.
I'm sure. I mean, she's Sally Field. Come on. But what did you learn on the set of Brothers and Sisters? I imagine there must have been so many conversations back in 2006 about like how much sex you can show and how much kissing between you and the Kevin character. And I wonder, did you notice a big shift from then to doing Bros, where Bros is very outwardly gay in such a beautiful way? And I loved seeing such a gay movie. But I wonder, did you notice the conversations different, or what was that evolution like for you as an actor?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, you know, I've spent a lot of this press tour talking about the three ways and the four ways that Bobby and Aaron get up to, but believe it or not, I challenge my challenge your listeners to remember the scene where Kevin and Scotty almost had a three-way. Do you know who
it
was?
Yeah, I vaguely remember. Wait, who? No, Giles. Was it Giles Marini?
No. It wasn't Giles, but he was another sort of from the Sex and the City universe, if you will.
Murray Bartlett? Was it?
No. Was he in Sex and the City?
He was in an episode of Sex and the City, yeah.
No, it wasn't Murray Bartlett. He was Samantha's boyfriend at one time.
Oh, Smith Jared. Yes, I remember. Okay.
Yes,
I remember. Jason Lewis.
Jason Lewis and Kevin and Scotty almost had a three-way, but in the, you know, tradition of television rom-coms, I think there was a knock at the door and we all kind of freaked out a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
Because you can't show that. Thank you, CRTC.
There's all these reports about drama on the set. Was there drama? Because towards the end of Brothers and Sisters, it was like people were coming and going, Luke. It was like this character's coming in, that character's leaving. We didn't know who was in the cast. By season five, it was a big mess. And I love the show so, so much. But by the end, it was a mess. So was there was drama happening on the set? Tell me about it.
I love the frankness of there was people coming and going. I think I felt really actually protected, you know, Kevin and Scotty, for whatever reason, sort of we were kind of like a protected sort of little thing. And both Matthew and I really loved working with each other. And I think we were always kind of easy. I can't think of any time when Matthew or I had particularly issues with the script. So I was very much outside of all that drama.
So it was Calista and Rob, or who was it?
I am not naming names. I honestly, I truly, like, one of the superpowers that I do not have is, like, hearing gossip. And I'm just not good at it. I don't think people like to tell me. They figure maybe because I'm Canadian, I'll just, you know, I'll be able to keep a secret. Yeah. So I can't tell you anything. I do remember being surprised when we didn't come back. I finished that season. I went to Broadway. I did The Normal Heart. And it was during the run of The Normal Heart that I found out the show was canceled, which is kind of a terrifying moment in any actor's career when you're like, oh, boy, what now?
Yeah. Yeah. Two more questions with Brothers and Sisters. One, what is the biggest lesson you learned from Sally Field acting wise?
Sally Field did not like pull any punches. I remember her working with a young actor on the show. And this young actor was, you know, a young actor, and Sally was not having it. And I just remember her stopping and going, like, what do you want? What do you want? Like, the, you know, sort of acting 101. And whenever I had scenes with Sally, there was a little extra sort of attention, a little bit more pen and paper time to sort of really figure out the character and the scene. And she loved that. She is like a worker. I was renovating my house when I was doing Brothers and Sisters, and I remember coming to set, and I had, like, blisters on my hands, and she was like, tell me what your labor was. And I was like, oh, I was digging a ditch. And she was like, oh, I love it. I wish I could dig a ditch. And I think that speaks to her sort of attitude about work. She is a worker. Yeah. And she certainly is, like, you know, an icon and glamorous and famous, but, like, at the end of the day, she digs in and works.
Yeah, I think it was so fun to watch because all of you were such great and are such great actors that it was just fun to see, like, some scenery chewing and some drama. And I thought, I hope, I don't know, this was my last question. Could it ever come back for some sort of, like, reunion movie or something? Or is it because of the drama on the set that it'll never come back?
The drama that I'm still very oblivious to.
Maybe I was reading in this, like, message board last night, Luke. I got in this, really? Like, crazy. I was in some sort of spiral because I was on this message board, and they were like, this is why Rob and Calista had all their scenes separate. And then there was, like, this affair between Emily and Dave and Sally. I mean, there was, like, all this crazy stuff. And I was like, man, I need to know all of it now. There needs to be a book.
Totally oblivious to that. And you know, if it's on the internet, it's totally true.
Right. So. And none of them were verified sources. I mean, it's just people on a message board saying, I heard this, and I was eating it all up.
Again, very true. What was your question? Oh, yeah. So I'm good friends with David Marshall Grant, who ended up show running in the last couple of seasons. And whenever I see David, I'm like, David, the Walker family should get together for, like, an English-style Christmas special, you know, yes. A sort of two-hour type thing. I would love to see that.
Like Downton Abbey gets together every year for a movie. Like, let's get the Walkers together.
Exactly. I'm all about that. I'd love to see ABC get on board with that.
All right. The Walkers walked so that This Is Us could run. Okay. I got to talk about Rose. I loved this so much. What was it like being on a set with so many LGBTQ actors? I must imagine it must have been fun in the makeup trailer to be surrounded by so many people who understood each other's references and touchstones.
Yeah. That the common vocabulary was excellent. But I think the thing that I really took the most from it was that we were all very grateful to be there. I've been on a lot of sets for a long time. And, you know, it might surprise people to hear that sometimes people are pretty grumpy on sets, you know, a lot of big personalities and stuff. But everybody seemed to be so aware of the specialness and the opportunity that they were given. So there was a tremendous amount of gratitude. And Nick Stoller, our director, runs a very chill set. So that was also a wonderful thing.
It was so nice to see even the smaller roles populated by LGBTQ people, because I been auditioning recently myself, and what I find is that oftentimes the gay character is always the assistant. And it's like, there's that one role in the project and he's an assistant to the lead woman or whatever. And so it was nice to just see a whole movie populated with LGBTQ actors and being able to shine. There were so many different people in it that got to have their moments. And and like every other Judd Apatow production where you watch it and it's like that little role. I remember, I think it was Knocked Up. Kristen Wiig had like a one scene thing, but it was so memorable because she was so good in that role. Yeah.
Wow. I actually have to go back and look at that. I don't remember that. Yeah, I mean, Judd Apatow has a tradition of sort of giving people opportunities. You know, he brought us Melissa McCarthy, and like even Steve Carell before 40-Year-Old Virgin were kind of unknown to a lot of people. So I think he's excited that he gets to maybe help take credit for introducing a lot of these very funny people to the wider world.
Luke, you've been doing this press tour. I've been seeing you guys everywhere. What's the question you're getting the most? Obviously, I'll avoid that one, but I should have asked you that at the beginning. What's the one question people keep saying to you?
Well, first of all, I very much appreciate your interview style, and I love that you dropped that in there. I think I get a lot of questions about how are you similar to Aaron, which is a totally fair question. Absolutely. Mm. Every actor, you know, it's kind of hard to separate yourself out from your character, but, you know, I get that one a lot.
Are you guys feeling a lot of pressure? Because I think there's so much criticism amongst the gay community. And then, of course, there's all this pressure because it is a big, wide release studio film that's going to be in theaters. And even I feel like the talking points must be a clusterfuck because you want to let everyone know how historic this is without also talking poorly about any of the other brilliant, wonderful movies that have come along. And
absolutely. I actually saw Judd yesterday at a panel, and Judd is really funny, obviously. And he's quiet. And I sort of realized, like, you know, Judd is a straight man that helped produce this, and Nick Stoller is a straight man that helped produce this. And sort of, shouldn't it have been a gay person? So, like, talk about being delicate about the way you have to answer things. They have it even harder than, you know, I do. I mean, yeah, the queer community wants to see themselves represented because we've been starved for that for the longest time. And not everybody's story, unfortunately, can be told in this movie. I think Billy and Nick in the script did a really good job of showing many of the stories. But, you know, it is a particular sort of pressure to be put under. You know, I don't think people said, you know, of Harry and Sally that was not a representation of a straight relationship. So, you know, look, it's a privilege to be criticized by people. That means they're listening and paying attention.
Yeah, and I hope that people see the movie because it's so well done and so funny and so romantic and charming. And I think a lot of those criticisms are answered throughout the script and the feature. And so I hope people see it. I kind of feel like once people are able to get to the movies and see it, a lot of these questions and stuff will be answered and hopefully satisfied. We have to take a quick break here. We'll be back with much more from Luke McFarlane. I want to thank Acast, and please stay tuned. We'll be right back. What gay movies were you into as you were coming up? I mean, of course, this is a big wide release movie, but I always found as a young kid, I would have to seek out those smaller independent gay films. I remember watching Broken Hearts Club on like a Showtime subscription service or, you know, some of those indie movies. So what were some of those that were meaningful to you?
You know, unlike Billy, I was not a big consumer of like media. And I think about the things that sort of sparked my interest, and they weren't really movies. I actually just had the experience, and I think we'll probably get to Hallmark, but I just worked with Marlo Thomas. And a Hallmark movie. And I was thrilled because Phil Donahue actually came with her. Marlo and Phil have been married for many, many years. And I didn't get a chance to say this to Phil, probably because I chickened out. But, you know, I remember coming home one day from TV, from school, and turning on the TV and seeing the Chippendale Dancers on Phil Donahue's show. And that, like, fundamentally changed my brain. I didn't understand that was on TV. And granted, these were not gay people, I don't think. But it was that funny thing of, like, oh, this is something that interests me. I sort of want more of this. I don't quite understand what this is. And
Naked Men, you mean?
I'm Naked Men dancing. And I actually specifically remember Phil Donahue at the end of the episode saying something to the effect of like, well, I don't know what the censors are going to think of this, but we all had fun, didn't we? And as a kid going like, I had fun and I can't tell anybody about this.
Right. I remember sneaking Queer as Folk in my parents' basement. It was on like at nighttime and I would watch it and I was like, oh my God, what is this? What am I experiencing? I heard in an interview you said something about loving Pretty Woman. You watched it with your dad. And what did you like about Pretty Woman? I mean, I love Julie Roberts. I love Pretty Woman. I'm a huge rom-com junkie. You've Got Mail is my favorite, but I appreciate Julia so much.
I appreciate Julia. Like, yeah, I do. I do remember watching that with my dad. And I mean, that is the epitome of sort of character chemistry. Like, that movie is like beautiful performances by two very, very different people. I specifically also remember like watching that with my dad and then like coming back to it and having a conversation with my dad after I learned a little bit more about movies and being like, Dad, is this actually like a good representation? You know, like the man, he's got all the power and she's a prostitute and he bought her. And my dad was like, whatever, it's entertaining. It's funny. Like, stop it. Don't overthink it. But yeah, that movie was built on the backs of like brilliant chemistry. And that's sort of really my big takeaway from that movie.
Well, and there's no chemistry nowadays. I was so excited to watch you guys in Bros because I felt like you had a good chemistry with each other. And oftentimes I watch newer rom-coms and I'm like, did they even test these people together? Because there's nothing. There's no chemistry. And when you watch those movies of the 90s, when you see Tom and Meg together or Julia and Richard or Julia and, I mean, she's doing a movie with George Clooney and there was a interview they did with Vanity Fair and it was like, they have chemistry and that's so important for these.
Yeah, chemistry is like a really weird thing. I admittedly wasn't really thinking about it. And maybe because of Hallmark movies, I sort of understand that and didn't think too much about it. But I remember Billy saying to me after a couple of days of filming that there was a sense of relief amongst everybody in the higher ups that we seemed to have chemistry. But like, I don't know how you define that. I don't know what that is. I mean, I'm a huge fan of his.
It's a star quality, Luke. You have the star quality. And I hope to God, I pray to God that you just are in everything because I've always known you at noon. See, I'm nervous. Okay, you mentioned Hallmark. And my personal favorite is A Shot at Love because you did a lot of gray sweatpant work in that film. And I really appreciated that. I know it wasn't a Christmas movie. I wasn't a huge fan of Shoe Addict Christmas, but I did love Sensibility and Snowmen. What was your favorite?
Oh, boy. Oh, my gosh. You have dug into the canon. It's so hard to say. I really appreciate these questions. They're very good. I love Taking a Shot at Love. That was one of my favorite ones to do. I think Alexa Pinavega. I mean, that's one of the cool things about Hallmark movies. I get to work with actresses like Alexa Pinavega, who, like, I didn't know. I didn't watch the Spy Kids movie, so I didn't really know who she was. I know, totally. I have some friends at the soup kitchen that I volunteer at, and they have no interest in my career. And then when I told them that I was working with the girl from Spy Kids, they lost their minds.
Sure.
My favorite, you know, it was actually weirdly like, well, I think Taking a Shot at Love was actually my favorite. But in the Christmas universe, Christmas Land was one of my favorites. It was like my first one, and it was me sort of discovering as an actor what these movies were. Like, I didn't watch them before, so I remember thinking like, wow, these movies are very charming.
They're so good.
And not understanding that there was a whole audience for them, which, by the way, speaks to a sort of a lack of romance in culture right now. That's why people watch them on repeat.
Well, and Luke, I could do a whole thesis about this because what Hallmark does so brilliantly with their Christmas movies is they fill every inch of screen with Christmas. And I think a lot of times when I see some of the other networks, Lifetime does it sort of well too, but they don't fill the screen with the coziness that Hallmark does. And so they do it so brilliantly. And
Christmas
I'm so
happy. Every shot is actually something that's said on set. We need Christmas in every shot. And sometimes you'll find wreaths in places that wreaths should not be.
And I'm so glad you're still doing it. It was just announced you're doing one with Allison Sweeney. And I was a little nervous. I think it was an interview maybe with Hollywood Reporter or something. And you were talking about some of the sex scenes and Bros and that sort of stuff. And you're like, oh, well, they're not going to have me. You sort of made a joke about it. And it was just announced you're doing more. And I know you did Single All the Way last Christmas, which I loved. I had Michael and Philomena on this show. Did I say Filament?
Philomena was a very sad gay movie.
Right, right. Yeah, why am I mixing that up?
Philemon.
Thelon. Yeah. It was so great. And I loved it. So is there a chance of doing a gay Christmas movie for Hallmark Channel? Because they've sort of started expanding. Finally, it's taken them way too many years. And I always get pissed because they would be doing 40 new movies and then there'd be not a single gay person in any of the films. And now finally, the past couple of years, they're starting to slowly catch up.
Yeah, I mean, it's like everybody. We're sort of playing catch up, and there's fear, you know. There's fear in anything new. One of the cool things that Hallmark does is if you've worked with them a certain amount of time, they ask you if you have some ideas. And so I'm in the very, very early stages of maybe developing something with them. So we will see. That's basically all I can tell you, because it's very, very early stages.
Well, Luke, I'm a writer too, so if you need someone, you give me a call.
I actually saw, yes. I saw, and I really wanted to ask you about your book, because that is one of the best titles of a book.
Oh, thank you.
If I don't remember this, that's a very smart title.
I'm pretty sure Brothers and Sisters is mentioned in the book as one of my gay awakenings, I'm sure, in there somewhere. But thank you. Okay, Luke, I have a little lightning round, a little rom-com lightning round for you. But you're not a big pop culture junkie, though, so I wonder if you'll get these.
I probably will not, but like, enjoy the sort of folly that will be my answers. Okay.
We'll see what happens. You've got Mail or Sleepless in Seattle?
Sleepless in Seattle, because Seattle is where one of my best friends is from.
Okay, wait, Luke. So you're not a big pop culture junkie, but you do like country music, right?
Sure do.
Who do we like in country music? Because I'm a country music fan, too.
I am a big Eric Church fan. I really like Lee Bryce. Garth Brooks is always at the top of the list. Marion Morris, I think, is amazing.
Love Marin, yeah.
I'm a big fan of Miranda Lambert. It was just whispered to me by my publicist because I... I'm also what album I've been listening to recently? Angelina Presley?
I don't know her.
He has this really great song called Groundswell, and it's sort of about being on the road and the difficulty of that, and maybe not totally breaking through. And it's one of those songs that I listen to when it's tough.
I just had a very dramatic, emotional moment about a week ago where I was crying to Miranda Lambert's The House That Built Me. I was just in one of those spaces, you know, when you need to kind of get it out. I was like, yeah, I'll just listen to this on repeat. And then I stuffed it all in. Okay, back to the lightning round. Something's
got more about that. We should talk more about that. You have a
tale for another time.
Talk, baby.
Something's got to give, or The Holiday. Have you seen either of those?
Something's got to give is Diane Keaton, right?
Yes. Jack Nicholson, Nancy Meyers directed.
I'm going to go with that one.
Okay. Meg Ryan or Julia Roberts?
Julia Roberts.
Sandra Bullock or Queen Latifah?
Oof. Tough, but I'm going to have to say Sandra Bullock.
Do you have a favorite Reese Witherspoon movie?
I remember the commercial so well for, you know what? I was just about to blow it. I was going to say How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, and that is not her.
No,
so
that's Kate Hudson. How dare you?
Luke. I don't. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
I told you I was going to be bad at this.
It's okay. This is something I ask all of my guests, their favorite Mariah Carey song. What are you giggling about, Luke? You don't even know a Mariah Carey song?
Can I ask you something
probably personal, and you can tell me to fuck off, but were you dating Wentworth Miller when he was in the Mariah Carey videos? Am I making that up?
I'm not going to answer any part of that question, but I really appreciate your sort of ballsy journalism.
I had to ask. Because, yeah, there were rumors. I feel like, so can we assume it was We Belong Together?
That my favorite Mariah Carey song?
Yeah. Or is there another one?
I truly can't tell you a Mariah Carey song. There's a remix of one in the Bros movie.
Yeah, Heartbreaker, I think, is in there. And Billy's friends with Mariah, and I'm interviewing him next week, and I'm going to tell him that you didn't know a single Mariah Carey song, Luke. How dare you?
Well, Mariah Carey threw a party for Billy to do a screener. I'm still waiting for Garth Brooks to throw a party for me where he gets his sequined cowboy hat that says Bros on it, because Mariah Carey's little number that she wore was pretty damn spectacular.
Maybe we could meet in the middle of Garth and Mariah with Shania Twain or something. Maybe she could throw a party. I don't know.
That don't impress me much. I can talk about Shania Twain for sure.
Oh, I love Shania. Come on. When the beginning of Man, I Feel Like a Woman, there's nothing better. I got kicked out of a Shania concert in Vegas once.
No, Shania Twain's from Ontario, which is my home province. A province is like a state for some of your American listeners.
Did you watch the documentary on Netflix about Shania?
No, I didn't actually.
Oh, so you're not a real fan.
Watch about Garth Brooks?
No, I did not.
Well, you're not a real fan.
What's the Garth song that I love? What's his big number? His biggest hit is the I remember in college. It was like something that played all the time. I
don't, You've got friends
in low places.
Yep, and he's the dance.
Right. Luke, sexiest man alive. If you were choosing for People magazine, who would you choose? You can't say me. I mean, you could, but it's.
Who is the sexiest man alive?
Got to be an actor, singer, or someone like that.
No, I know. I'm not going to name some obscure Russian novelist.
Well, sometimes people are like, my husband. I get mad at them because I'm like, we don't know who your husband is. You got to say George Clooney. You know, figure it out.
You know, it's hard to say because, you know, people at certain points in history, I do remember watching Thelma and Louise and thinking that Brad Pitt was the sexiest man, but he has held that spot for many, many years.
With the hairdryer in that scene. I mean, it's incredible.
Talk about iconic.
That's a good choice.
Yeah.
Luke, what's next for you? What do you want to tackle next? Like I think this movie is going to be hopefully a big, huge hit and everyone's going to want you in your movies because you're so charming. You're so gorgeous, all of the things. So like what would you like to do next? Like what's on your dream list in terms of acting?
Well, I'm lucky. I actually did just finish doing the first season of a Apple TV show with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne, where I play Rose Byrne's husband. The show is called Platonic and it's Nick Stoller. So Nick, who directed Bros, asked me if I would like to be in this show. So I just filmed that. I think it comes out November-ish. And then looking down the road, I don't know. It's hard to say. I love, you know, action adventure. I did a television series for 5 seasons that not a lot of people watched, but I was very proud of, called Killjoys on the Sci-Fi Network. And I discovered how much I enjoy doing sort of action stuff. So the true fantasy would be to sort of be, a dude that gets into some action.
We need to get you in a Marvel movie or something, or maybe, I don't know, something else.
Wait, I don't know.
So you probably didn't even watch Will and Grace. Did you watch Will and Grace? Did it mean anything to you when, because Deborah Messing is one of the only two sort of non-LGBTQ performers in this film, and it's a small cameo, and that one has been revealed in the press, so I'm not spoiling anything, but did you watch that show?
I absolutely did watch that show because, you know, maybe I'm not super pop culture sort of literate, but I mean, talk about great performances, like across the board, like brilliant performances. And yeah, I watch Megan Mullally crush it constantly. I definitely did watch that.
I'm so fascinated by the drama on that set when they did the reboot because there was all these rumors. Luke, you don't even know, but there were all these rumors behind the scenes.
Really? Well, yeah. They were all getting paid very well. I often to think, I would be very well behaved if I was making that much money.
Okay, now I got to let you go. Where would Scotty and Kevin be today? They'd still be together, right?
I think that they would be. I think that they would be. We ended the show. We had 2 children. So, if I'm doing the math, we'd have a 10-year-old and a 16-year-old. So, you know, we'd be thinking about colleges and schools. It's actually fascinating to think about that.
Yeah. Well, we need that Walker family Christmas. I love decorating the house and getting furniture, but sometimes it could be overwhelming to design a space. And so luckily I'm here to tell you about a company called Cozy. Now, Cozy is fantastic, a North American company that thoughtfully designs furniture made for modern living. Now, Cozy strives to provide the best furniture shopping experience with elegant, super high quality products, plus fast delivery and easy assembly, which is really important to me because I do not like putting together furniture. So the easier, the better for me. Now, Cozy offers beautiful, customizable sofas and sectionals that are made to adapt in time. This means customers can add seats to the sofas over time. Maybe if you're extending your family, you might want more space on the couch. Cozy also offers a great range of coffee tables, washable rugs, wall shelving, credenzas, TV stands, and accessories. So much. It's thoughtfully designed furniture made for modern living. There's an outdoor sofa and tables collection that is fantastic. It's called the Mistral. So you can choose the perfect sofa configuration for your outdoor setup. Cozy also opened its first retail space on Queen Street in Toronto to push the experience to the next level and allow customers to engage physically with the products. So transform your living space today with Cozy. Visit Cozy.com, spelled C-O-Z-E-Y, to start customizing your furniture today. Again, that's Cozy, C-O-Z-E-Y.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Luke, thank you so much for taking the time. Bros is out September 30th. Truly such a pleasure and an honor and a delight to get to talk to you. I've been such a huge fan of yours, and your work in particular has meant so much to me as a baby gay and as an adult gay. Watching you run around in sweatpants on the Hallmark Channel is important.
I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for all the smart questions.
And congrats on the movie. Thank you, Luke.
Bye.